Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
And the death toll from the 7.7 magnitude earthquake that struck Myanmar on Friday has now surpassed 1,700 people and flattened huge areas of the country. The US Geological Survey estimates Myanmar's death toll could top 10,000, would you believe? For the latest from the country, I'm joined by Deputy Head of the UN's Humanitarian Coordination Office, Annette Hearns. Annette, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
Where are you exactly now?
I'm sitting in Dengon at the moment.
And could you describe to me what you've witnessed, what you're hearing?
So on Friday, about lunchtime, my experience, we were standing together after a meeting, and literally as we stood looking at each other, all of us were swaying back and forth, and it just takes that moment to realize what's happening, and everybody dashes outside. So the epicenter was further north in an area, Mandalay, Sagaing. And from the epicenter outward, given the strength of that earthquake, because we had a 7.7 immediately followed by a 6.4. And then it stayed rolling for about 3 hours. And then we've had subsequent very strong aftershocks since then. So the level of damage, the infrastructure, you know, houses fell, buildings fell, bridges, roads, it is just devastating.
And the hunt reinstating or restarting military strikes, which has been condemned by the UN, among other agencies as well, hampering humanitarian efforts, Annette, that have been ongoing now for 3 days. How successful are they being? I know that the job of work is gargantuan.
It sure is. And I mean, look at, as always, the initial response is started by local communities. And within seconds, we were getting reports of families, communities coming together to dig people out, to rescue them, to bring people out to open spaces, to have them safe. We have frontline responders as part of local NGOs and community organizations who themselves have lost everything, including our own staff. And they're making their families safe and then going back to help others in the community. In Mandalay, we have a small team there, all local staff. All of them have either lost their homes or their homes are too damaged to go into. Mm-hmm. And every day they are responding like many of the others. So we have a major operation that has been stood up. We're getting assistance out while in tandem. We're also trying to understand the vastness of the need so that then as we're getting that first line set up of assistance to people that have been affected, we're also then an understanding what we need to plan for next.
Okay, and can I ask you briefly how the aid response has been in the last 3 days or so from the international community?
From the international community, I mean, literally immediately any of the stocks and stores that were available, doors were opened and commodities began to move. We have a major humanitarian team already in place, the United Nations, the international NGOs, as well as then working with the local NGOs. Because, of course, before this earthquake, about a third of Myanmar's population, so that's about, you know, 10 million people, are women and children, and they were estimated to have needs. With about 19.9 million people estimated to have needs. That was before this. So we have a huge international community presence here already. But then as of early on Saturday morning, through a mechanism that OCHA manages at the global level, all of the urban search and rescue teams began arriving, some of the specialty groups like the emergency medical teams. So all of that assistance began flowing into the country immediately,
and more,
facilitated through the international system.
And more will arrive, sure, in the next couple of days or so. What do you think is needed that hasn't arrived yet, or in terms of political support? Are you looking more to the US now, which stopped US aid? Would you look to them to do more in that?
Look, we need the world to pay attention. And I mean, people of Myanmar have just been suffering for a very long time, and any of the responses have been critically underfunded. So even think about it, if you have a child who's malnourished and you're beginning to get that child back on a path, and then there are these critical cuts, those children lose that gain very quickly. So we're looking to everybody for the support. And I mean, I would have to say, you know, the Irish government in particular were one of the very first who contacted us to say all of the contributions that they are giving. Today, we briefed the EU humanitarian team who were then going to go and lobby. So this is about everybody, including the organizations in the Asian region, who have really stepped up, but we do need more. Okay. So even as we're getting shelter out to people, you know, safe drinking water, mosquito nets. If you're sleeping on the side of the street with your kids, you're going to need all of these things. A kitchen set, hygiene sets. But the proportion of what we need, the commodities that we had in country, they're quickly being used up to give to the immediate people, while then we're finding more and more and more. Okay. So keeping those commodities flowing is vital.
Is a necessity. Annette Hearns, thank you so much indeed for talking to us about what is needed and the level of devastation there. That's Annette Hearns, Deputy Head of the UN's Humanitarian Coordination Office in Myanmar. The Red Cross saying it's a level of devastation that hasn't been seen in over a century in Asia. That is what that earthquake has done.